Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt McCoochie from the 71st Venice Film Festival, and I'm joined by filmmaker Peter Chan, who is presenting his film Dearest here at the festival. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
I suppose the best way to start this interview would be if you could tell us a little bit about the story of the film, first of all.
Yes, narrative, it's basically about child abduction in China. It's about parents who lost their kid accidentally one day, and they try to find them in vain, and the incredible journey of what you have to go through to find your kid in China. For 3 years they couldn't, and then they were constantly being blackmailed by people that claimed to know where the whereabouts of their son, and they kept getting con men, you know, kept running around China with a picture that is usually photoshopped, and you know, gone through a lot of stuff, and met a support group that support each other, I mean, with all the parents of missing children, and ended up, they're one of the anomaly who ended up finding their kid halfway into the movie. And when they went to this rural village in the middle of China, finding the long lost son, and they realize that their son is living with a farmer's wife, and the farmer turns out to be someone who actually personally abducted the kid, and he had died of cancer. So the criminal is dead, and the wife is ignorant of the son's, you know, how that the son is kidnapped, that was kidnapped, and then they bring the son back home, and then the story really starts, because I met with the biological father, the real person, because it's based on real event. He thought that by taking his son home, it's almost like a second abduction, because his son has grown so attached to the foster mother. And the foster mother is also a very good woman, a very good mother. And to make the story even more complicated is there is another little girl, a little sister, at home living with them. And the little sister turned out to be an abandoned children. But the mother could not prove that she's abandoned. But the little girl was then taken away from the mother and was kept in custody of the orphanage in a big city. But then she could not find any matching DNA with her biological parents, which means that she must have been abandoned. Yeah. And that was, you know, it's one sad story that leads to another sad story that leads to another sad story.
It's an extraordinary story.
Yeah, it's a real story that was completely captivating.
And so, as a filmmaker, what made you want to really look into this problem and this story in particular?
I think it's not just a social problems. I think it's something that is happening in China quite a bit. It's not, I wouldn't say it's usual, but it's not that unusual for people to lose their children. I think there are, like, they put the number at like 50,000 cases a year of lost children, and they're being kidnapped and sold to rural areas, rural affluent families, and it's definitely a social phenomenon. But more important than that is through a child abduction case, the movie actually took us into different walks of life in contemporary Chinese society, in the different social hierarchy of the modern composition of China today. There are middle class, struggling middle class. There are the peasant, the lower, less affluent peasant, and the more affluent peasant. And there are also the nouveau riche. So it actually deals with different values and different lack of or change of values in the ever-changing contemporary Chinese society, all as a result of the rapid growing economy.
It's great that you mentioned that, because actually one of the things that I admire the most in the film is this sort of prejudice that the woman that lives in the country has to live with when she's trying to get her daughter back, or the kid that she grew up as her daughter, because of this prejudice. And that's something that's very interesting even for a more international audience.
Yeah, I think the film, it's a very Chinese story, but I think it's probably universal at the same time.
Yeah.
She was trying to fight this custody battle for the girl, and then they wouldn't let her. They kept, the excuse was saying that the girl is better off with somebody in the city instead of going to the rural areas. But I think it's more important than that. I think the case, it's really about whether we should stick with the law or whether we should stick with the sympathy for this woman. Because it doesn't matter that we know that this woman is a victim as well, even though she was the abductor's wife. But the thing is, I think in any jurisdiction, in any society, or Western society for that matter, you wouldn't return a kidnapped children to the abductor's family, because that would be completely insane, I think. So I believe that it is just a sad story for this woman that she is now losing her daughter, who is really abandoned and was not kidnapped, but there's no way to prove that.
And because this is a true story, like you said, and like it's made clear in the start of the film and with the ending, how did you research it, and did you have contacts with the people that were really involved?
I did. I just saw the half-hour documentary and called up the producer and the director who made the documentary and talked to them and get all the phone numbers that I could. And then I met with the director of the orphanage, who then introduced me to the parents, to the protagonist, the parents who lost their child. And he brought along his best friend, who also lost his child, which is the second male character in the film, the Nouveau Rich, that is actually the sponsor of the support group. So I met both parents, and I met the orphanage director. I didn't meet the mother at the end of the film. I still haven't met her even today. But I've seen a lot of documentaries about this case, because this case actually is a very much publicized case in China. Because it was one of the rare cases where the child was retrieved, and it was through the help of internet, the Weibo, which is the Chinese Twitter. And internet has become a big thing in missing child cases, and you know, people are posting and reposting Chinese Twitter every day for different, you know, charity costs.
As a follow-up to the question and what you were saying, did you ever feel a certain responsibility on your shoulders when you were filming?
You know what? I'm not a very, you know, I'm not a director with a lot of social conscience, and I don't like to have that chip on my shoulder when I'm making a movie, because I do believe that film is first and foremost emotional, whether it be it entertainment, comedy, tragedy, whatever. I think it should be thought-provoking, but it's more important that you connect with the audience through emotions. And after you connect with the audience through emotions, the audience will appreciate your effort and will appreciate your film. And then when they're sucked into your story and the characters, in turn, they would be more aware of missing children cases in China. And if more people are connected with the story, more people will be aware of this phenomenon. And when more people are aware of this phenomenon, it would in turn be a movie with a certain social conscience.
Basically, another thing that you wanted to do was to really interact with the audience. And I guess that's also why you're not judgmental. You don't pick sides, and you give equal importance to both sides.
I completely not want to pick side. I think the best thing about this story and the premise of the story is I was allowed to make a film that was really about the duality of things and the duality of characters and human beings. You can't say who is right and who is wrong, because they're all victims. You know, you start the film with the biological parents, and you could take look at the captors or his wife as demons or villains. But then in the middle of the movie, when you find the son, you realize that the other side is victim too. So you switch side to your antagonist, and you realize that your antagonists are not that much of an antagonist after all.
Yeah. As a final question, we talked about the power of the internet in this whole story, but what's the power of cinema in particular when raising all these issues, when talking about these issues?
I think cinema is still one of the most popular form of literature. It doesn't matter how it is changing over the years. whether theatrical entertainment is still the key, whether you watch it through internet or whether you watch it through DVDs, disc, VHS, cable channels or whatever. But the format of telling stories within a two-hour time frame or around a two-hour time frame is still the most popular version of literature there is today. And I think that will not change in a very short time. And I think that people predicted the death of cinema since the 50s,
yeah.
Since TV started in the early 50s. But it's still around, and it's still taking different forms and shape, and it's still changing. And I believe that cinema will be around for a long, long time.
Thanks very much for taking the time off and talking with us. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.